This is for the nerds, this is for the brainiacs, this is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back, you ain't gonna touch me, you not gonna do nothing, you are not above me. I bet you wish you was me, I know that I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, Poo Dog Melissa.
Hey, Melissa. What's up?
Oh, hi, Melissa.
Okay. You're looking a little pale over there.
All right, I guess Melissa's not here. What's popping, sidekick? How you feel today?
Guapo, you got to fix the saturation on her shot. it's looking a little whitish. I think she forgot today's Thursday. Maybe she's caught up in the madness, you know?
Wow. March.
The March madness.
Let's go, Dookies, baby!
Boo. Pittsburgh, baby!
Boo. What happened? You didn't have them in your bracket?
No, he's BYU.
UNLV, baby. Come on.
What does that have to do with BYU?
Duke? Why would I ever root for Duke?
Who's talking about Duke, bro?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I thought you were talking about Duke.
Sorry. Duquesne. No.
I'm talking about Duquesne.
Yeah.
AKA Duquesne Dukes.
Oh, okay.
Clearly,
I'm not basketball guy.
They haven't made the tournament since the 70s, and they haven't won a game since 1969.
Chico's nice. A huge, huge Duquesne fan.
You know, that's weird.
You know why?
No, why?
Because they're rivals with Pitt.
They were not really.
They were back in the day.
Yeah.
They were back
when your papa was a child.
Right. So he loves them.
right. Yeah. Very, very.
The
weird.
City game. They used to play. You know, this every year it'd be the city game. You know.
Yeah.
Pitt versus Duquesne.
My allegiance to being a Yinzer has changed my views. The scandal at Penn State, coupled with the fact that I can now physically distance myself.
You're full Pitt now?
I'm not full Pitt. No. But I truly never hated Pitt. I didn't understand it because it wasn't a rivalry when we were kids.
It was beaten into me.
Yeah, I get that. Well, in the 80s, Pitt was the superior team. So if you were a Penn State fan, obviously the 90s.
What do you mean they were a superior team?
They were very good.
They weren't superior. Penn State won. They won at least one or two. Yeah.
I think they won.
They were always
in the
good. 80s. Yeah, it was a big rivalry back then because they were both always really, really good. Yeah,
I thought Pitt won more than one championship during that time, but I could be wrong.
Pitt has a lot more national championships than Penn State does.
Yeah.
But Penn State got screwed out of a few. So
well, they were independent forever, but they got screwed after. They got screwed both. They got screwed when they were independent, and they got screwed their second.
1994.
Whatever Kajana Carter was.
They should have split with Nebraska.
Fuck a split. Should have won it outright. Won
at least split.
Wait, so I'm sorry. You said Pitt has won what?
More national championships than Penn State.
That's what I said. I'm talking about football.
Gotcha.
I guess we should have clarified that we're talking about football. Probably
true in basketball, too, because they're both probably at zero.
No, Pitt. Oh, I don't know. Pitt
is at zero. They made the Final Four once.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Yeah,
and
I didn't
Penn
know if
State,
they...
For sure.
Definitely never
I think they
one.
Made the Sweet 16 a few years back, and it was a big deal.
Penn State won the NIT a couple times.
Yeah, That's true. Can't forget that.
NIT used to be big, too, back in the day.
It's almost worth something.
Chat's saying that UConn's going to run it back again this year. That might happen, but I disagree, because there are two teams that I think are going to get in their way. Number one, the Duquesne Dukes. We're talking Cinderella story here, baby. Their coach is retiring after the season ends. They're riding them off into the sunset in the proper way. I think Sweet 16 minimum. Lot of disruption there from the Dukies. Mm-hmm. they're gonna drop a Dukie on their bracket.
Like your dog.
Very strange to me also. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they seed these things, but round one of the East is in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
They went to Omaha. So
yeah, they don't really want people to get home.
Well,
yeah,
I'm home not right. saying that they do. I'm just saying they went to the furthest place away. Yeah. they put them in like the West.
Yeah, it's always like that. I don't know why.
I don't think that's true. There's too many teams for it to always be like that.
I'm saying there's like if you look every year, you'll see like a team.
Oh yeah,
out
yeah,
of
yeah.
Place.
Yeah, yeah, for yeah. sure. And it's always going to be the lower seeded teams that get inconvenienced for sure. Mm-hmm. So not only is Duquesne going to do great, but sleeper story. And you were on this early. We're talking like seventh grade. You were on this.
Kentucky.
Yeah, Calipari.
Calipari, baby.
Moon Township.
My dad also likes Kentucky.
Well, Calipari's a Yinzer.
He's a Yinzer. He's Italian.
Yeah.
What else do you need?
What else do you need? Right. Do you got that interview?
How
of,
many of you are from Calipari? Pittsburgh?
Yeah, here we go.
Yinz, downtown.
This is me on the podcast in 20 years.
We had a crick in our backyard.
Our yard?
My mom used to say, red up. Like, red up? What is red up? Like, clean up. Red up. Do you know what a gum band is? Like a rubber band? It was gum band. Pop? I never knew. They said, are you going to have a soda? What are you talking about? Pop? I mean, let me say this about Pittsburgh. When I grew up, it was a blue-collar town. But it's never changed the roots of what Pittsburgh is and what it's about. The Steelers are still. I call them the Steelers, as in Pittsburgh, Steelers. They're still a blue-collar team with fans who love them. And like where I grew up, my high school teammates are still my best friends. They still come to games, and they will
Gumby. Simmons and the crew.
Yep.
We were all brought up the same way. Our fathers were laborers. Mom raised us and put hope and dreams and you can be whatever. That was mom. But we were all the same. It was a melting pot. And, you know, you were taught there's nothing in this world is going to be given to you. You're going to have to go take what you want. And if you don't work, you will not eat. That was the famous line. You don't work, you're not eating. You work. You better, if you want to be better than somebody, you better work. That's Pittsburgh.
That's how winning's done. These guys are going to steamroll everybody. It's over. Just crown them. Crown them champions.
Crown.
Nobody's beating UConn.
Love it.
Kentucky is.
Kentucky, yeah.
Rolling
Let's go.
Through.
They're not.
Let's
Wildcats,
baby. Actually, that's the team that I liked growing up because I didn't have any college basketball around me, mm-hmm. Kentucky. And I think they have no chance.
I just feel such a sense of nostalgia hearing somebody say mom the correct way. Like, it feels so nice. Oh, hi, Pippers.
Look at Pip.
That's not what she looks like right now. She is assed out on this on this bed right now.
She took a poop on the carpet.
Well, she had to go.
You know, you got to go, you got to go.
I'm sure there were warning signs.
It was a fucking steamy
one. Yeah, I've always been a Kentucky. Well, first, my dad, he liked them. Mm. Just for, I don't know what reason, probably because of Calipari. I don't know how long Calipari's been there.
I feel like he's been there a long time.
Yeah, but he might even like them before then. But yeah, like you said, going back to seventh grade, I remember in health class, Mr. Bowser was our health / gym teacher. Huge Duke fan.
Hate Duke because of him.
How funny is this? So, you know, he was obviously big into college basketball.
Yeah.
And so he had everyone, we did like a draft. Like, I don't know how he like decided who got to pick first, but everyone got to pick a team in the tournament. And if the team won, you got 2 bonus points.
Right.
To added to your grade. Yeah. So like you could gamble on your grade.
We learned
and
young, baby.
I picked Kentucky and they won it that year.
Sharp.
That brought me up from a C to a B.
Sharp. Fucking Bowser, man. I still got a grudge against him. I don't know if you remember this. First of all, he used to give us extra. He was the best.
Oh, you're going to talk about how
Wiffle ball.
In wiffle ball, yeah, you used to just hit bombs, and he just was just like, nope, that's not a home run. No, that's foul. It'd be like right down dead center, home run, be like, nope, it hit the Raptor.
He was
count.
Such a fucking troll, man. He was such a fucking troll. He would keep a running tally of people who hit home runs during gym class and wiffle ball. He would give me an extra 4 gym classes a week. Mm-hmm. I would go in there and just drop the thunder. And every fucking class,
he would
explain to me why it didn't count. It was such a shot
Pretty
to my
sure Brian
ego.
Helsel won the whole thing.
Every time. It was always, oh man, it was so frustrating. Him and his apologize.
Oh man.
Whose is this?
This your bracket, Derek Wop?
No, I was just pulling stuff up.
Well, what do we got here? Is this last year's?
No.
It's like 2024. That's what I Googled anyway.
Okay, so this is
some random person.
Matt Norlander.
Let's see if they're sharp. Do they have the Duquesnes? Duquesne Dukies coming out of the West? Where are they? 11. Oh, wait. They weren't in the West.
They were.
They must have been the Midwest. Is Oklahoma the Midwest? Conrad, you're our expert geographer. Is Oklahoma the mid? Or wait.
No, they had BYU.
No, sorry. They were in Nebraska. Is Nebraska the Midwest?
Definitely.
That's not even fucking
That's the
close.
Heart of the Midwest.
Of course it is.
Oh, the heart of the Midwest. Right. The heart of the Midwest because, you know, it's right next door to fucking Pittsburgh.
What? the fuck are you talking about?
Even Berkey understands that geography.
Jesus Christ.
You are the start of the Midwest.
How do you
on the
say
east
mom?
Side.
How do you say mom?
Mom.
Mom.
How do you say it?
Mom.
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 Like
mom.
Normal people.
I mom. Say it like a British person. Mom.
Mom. Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
M-U.
Your
mom?
Yeah, mom. It's like M-A-U-M.
Mom.
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 Mom. Mom. Mom. Mama.
M-A-H-M.
Mommy.
Mom.
Ma. 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 Ma.
Lois.
How do you say mom? Carrie!
You call your mom by your first name?
All the time.
Michelle calls her mom Joan all
Carrie.
The time. Yeah.
She's just like, who's Joan. Your favorite? Who's supposed to win this tournament?
UConn. UConn's a big favorite, but yeah. Big favorite in NCAA is like you win a quarter of the time.
So, like, especially nowadays, like, used to be like the Final Four is almost set. Like,
used to be like ones and twos always.
Yeah, but like nowadays, these mid-major teams are so fucking good that
there have been a lot more
people
upsets.
Just get knocked off.
16 seed won the first round for the first time ever, I think 5 years ago, maybe. It's been a minute now, but it was a big deal when it happened.
George yeah. Mason, right?
I honestly don't remember. You would think that something like that would be memorable, but I think a 15 and a 16 have both won within like the last 5 years.
UMBC, that's what it was.
Yeah. And then there was a Cinderella story. I want to say it was
FAU recently yeah. made I think Final Four.
Do you remember? I want to say they were a double digit seed. I feel
they
like
were.
There was like a 10 through 12 that had made the Final Four recently. But it's still usually chalky.
Who's Smokey got?
You, finally, somebody
I
somebody
had,
paying
I
mean, close. Yeah. Only that, you can prevent forest
right.
fires.
Smokey the Bear, he's like Scruff McGruff adjacent.
Right, I couldn't find a Scruff one.
Yeah.
So this is what I had to
you
go
couldn't
with.
Find it. I well, like that. That's
I,
nice.
To be fair, yeah. I didn't look all that hard. Instagram targeted me.
There he is.
Instagram just sent me the link to this, and they said, this seems like something you need. And I said, you know what? I do need this shirt, Instagram. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't even know how the fuck I remember that. George Mason was an 11 seed that got Final Four, like in 2006.
Strong.
I think Pip's going to look like Scruff McGruff when he grows up.
Number 10, Davidson, Pip, when Curry Pipper? Was there. VCU Rams, 2011.
Oh, yeah, Davidson.
Oh, that's when Shaka Smart was their coach.
Yeah, yeah, Shaka was great.
Florida Gulf Coast.
Florida Georgia Line?
Florida Gulf Coast Eagles were a Sweet 16, but they were 15 seed.
Make me want to roll my windows down.
Loyola, 2018, they made Final Four.
Lost to Michigan.
St. Peter's, Peacocks, Elite Eight lost to UNC.
What's the worst seed that's ever won it? Lower than a four?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's gotta
oh,
be.
It's NC State, right?
No.
Didn't they have the huge upset with, like, whenever
the Wolfpack.
Am I wrong? Is my memory not serving me? Wasn't it during the Vavano era?
I don't think so, at least.
Mm. Maybe. The lowest seed to ever win is the eighth seed.
Mm. I thought it was eight. It was UConn, right?
Nope. Villanova.
Villanova.
1985.
Hmm.
What am I thinking about with NC State?
What was UConn when Kemba was there?
They were high, good. They were good.
I don't think so.
Nah,
like,
they were good. Let's see.
Everybody research.
But do your research.
It's research.
You
got to
start typing before you ask these questions.
Yeah.
You know? If this way it comes up.
Can't believe you cut to me when I was mid-type.
Ooh, got your ass.
Finally doing research.
Got your ass.
You know? Lenny, you got anything? What the hell?
I'm trying.
He's fucking writing Discord messages.
I'm
I can't
not.
Believe it.
I'm not. UConn won in 2011. In 2011, I'm trying to get the picture. Dun,
dun, dun, we just wanted to know what seed they were.
I know. I'm trying to find it.
Wait, who?
2011, UConn.
UConn. Oh.
This is riveting.
Okay, here. This is what I was talking. NC State has won two national championships in 1974 when the Final Four MVP David Thompson led the Wolfpack to victory over Marquette. And then 1983, when Jim Valvano's team defeated Houston's by Slamajama. I thought that they were like...
Oh, they were a three seed, Jesus.
I thought they were really low seeded, though. I guess
it
that
was probably
wasn't.
Just a big upset.
Yeah.
So it seemed like that because, you know, but... I mean, like maybe the... What was the team they beat? Slamajama.
By Slamajama, baby.
By Slamajama.
With Hakeem. The dream.
UConn was so fucking good that year.
They had
Hakeem to beat. I'm pretty sure. And he was like a fucking absolute animal as a
UConn
center.
Was 26-9. That's not very good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
That's not bad. That's
definitely worthy of a three seed.
Ohio State, like, number one seeds were 32-2, 30-4, 32-2. Pitt Pittsburgh was in one seed this year.
Not this year.
No, 2011.
Yes, that was the Jamie Dixon era. He was very good.
Pitt was good back then.
There was a brief era where I watched college basketball and was plugged into March Madness. I was just talking about this the other
day. This was like, the Butler year.
Yeah.
Butler was 8 seed and they lost to UConn.
Yeah, that was with, what's his face, coaching the Celtics.
Gordon Hayward.
No, the coach.
Oh, Doc Rivers?
No. He's a nerdy white dude. He ended up coaching the Celtics.
Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Okay, third time's a charm. We got there.
He's now not the GM of the Celtics.
Is he really?
He's he's moved up to, I think, GM and, yeah.
He said Doc Rivers.
He was there for a little bit, right?
But not college.
Yeah.
He definitely got a promotion.
There was a brief window where I was like super locked into NCAA basketball and I miss it so much.
You're locked in.
I was, because like I was talking about this yesterday. I filled out three brackets and I cared so little that I randomized one of the brackets. Another one I picked like I might have went by like mascots or something. It's so cool. The Yahoo bracket system now, you can choose from like 20 different drop downs of how they'll randomize the bracket for you.
Oh, I should have just did that.
Yeah. And then I filled one out myself, but like filling it out was such a tedious task because I just don't follow it at all.
You don't know anything anyways.
But
you're literally just clicking buttons.
Knowing. It's like you watch during that Jamie Dixon era, I would watch.
Sure. You'd watch,
I don't
games.
Know, maybe 20, 30 games a season.
It was so good.
It honestly had me like plugged more into the NBA too, because you would see these, like, I remember D Wade putting on a big display during the
Marquette run
where nobody had heard, or at least the casual like myself had never heard of D Wade prior to that. And then all of a sudden it's like, he's a big star, ends up going in the lottery. Same thing with Steph Curry and the Davidson run. It was like, who the fuck is this kid? And you realize he's Dale Curry's kid and like all that stuff. It's like, man, this is nice. 'Cause it's a funnel to like actually getting locked into the NBA, which I, for my entire life, have never given a shit about not having a team from Pittsburgh, only really following Jordan and LeBron.
Same.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, you watch it on Christmas and now there's NFL. So it kind of lost me. But what I realized the most disappointing part was that somewhere between high school and the end of that Jamie Dixon era, call it like 2011, 2012, I had started gambling so much I started gambling so high for meaningful amounts of money that brackets no longer interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so goddamn sad.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing more exhilarating than sweating a March Madness bracket that actually has a shot.
Right.
Like, you feel like such a genius when you pick the three upsets on day one opening round.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, baby, we're doing it. This is it. This is the year for the perfect bracket. I knew I should have taken that free roll on ESPN. Why wouldn't I do it? Never going to be a perfect bracket.
Yeah.
It's so hard. It's just impossible.
You know how this works. Before we get to the who's cooking segment of the
day, that's what it was.
Have
you're talking about 2022 15 seed St. Peter's got to Elite Eight.
Okay, yeah.
That's what you're talking about. 2020,
and a 16 seed, maybe more than once, but a 16 seed has won the whatchamacallit, the first round,
opening round.
Yeah.
It just happened not too long ago. The first time.
Yeah,
and then maybe it happened again.
I don't know, but I you're right. It wasn't very long ago.
God. Somebody posted something. Oh, God, keep on going. Hold on. Don't leave this topic for a second.
I don't know. Like, okay. From what I've seen, it's just like, I think the only 16 was that UMBC won as a 16 seed, but there's a lot of 15 versus 2s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very easy to like conflate a 15-2 versus a 16-1.
Mm. That NC State team that I was talking about, they were number 6 seed.
Got it.
But they really blew through everybody. They beat
They won the whole thing?
Yeah, they beat UNLV, which was really good that year. I think that UNLV team had, oh man, what was their big star? It wasn't the guy who died on the court, was it? No, he was from Maryland. Dude, Andy's losing his fucking mind now, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
He is at home listening to this. Not right now because he's watching the games, but he'll listen to it on replay, and he's just beside himself angry.
They're just getting everything wrong.
Which, for what it's worth, like, as little as I follow basketball, my recall here is like pretty fucking strong.
We actually should have brought him in. He would have been able to.
That's true.
Was it Sean Marion? Yeah.
Maybe
went to UNLV.
Okay, then yeah, probably
1999 year.
No. Way earlier.
Back in the
see, that's how little I know about basketball.
Larry this is like Johnson,
1983. Yeah. Yes. No.
1991.
Tarkarian was the coach.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up different UNLV athletes.
It was when UNLV was really good with Tark.
Reggie Toys, 1978. Larry Johnson, 1991. Stacey Augmon, 1991. Greg Anthony, 1991. Sidney Green.
Okay, we don't need to read off the fucking...
I'm trying to find him. I'm trying to wait for you to say yes, one.
I just told you it was 1983.
I'm trying to wait for Conrad to get his thing. And still...
Oh my God, I can't find it. Just go on. It's so good that we'll come back to it.
Oh, man. Okay.
It's so good he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Jesus
Christ. All right. I saw it at like fucking 5 o'clock this morning.
Cacophony. Can't breathe. all right. So before we get to the who's cooking segment, there's one more bro who's down a little bad. I don't know if you guys saw the news, but we have another Pete Rose situation arising here with Ohtani. I don't know what the follow up has been. Currently, he's blaming his translator on everything, as far as I understand it. But it sounds as though he has like 7 figures worth of gambling debts.
Uh oh.
Do you know what the MLB's rule is if you're allowed to bet on other sports or not?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. We were talking about this last night. I should have looked it up. Oh, it was Hank Gathers. Thank you, T-Sprinkles. You're the best. Unlike Landon, who failed us completely.
I was just trying to look. I don't know who the fuck that is.
Oh, no. Never mind. Hank Gathers is who died on the court. Apologies.
Okay.
Fuck you.
So, everyone is mentioning the... How do you say phallic?
Phallic?
The phallic upset trend. 2021, Oral Robinson over Ohio State.
Oh, Robert. Okay.
2022, St. Peter's over Kentucky.
Okay.
2023, Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue.
Okay.
Everyone is talking about Morehead
State, yes.
Or Longwood in 2024.
Okay. Gotta take both. Gotta cover your bases.
I gotta say, I probably don't have enough Morehead or
exposure
or Longwood exposure on my brackets. I wonder if there's still time to change.
I'd like a little more Longwood. It's over.
Yeah, I would like a little more. You would like Morehead? I would like Longwood.
I would like Longwood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're both Morehead. Pretty based.
She said.
They are pretty based.
How did somebody fucking even see that? These people pay attention,
bro. The internet's undefeated. Are you kidding me?
They got a lot of time on their hands.
Are you kidding me?
I saw that at like 5 o'clock this morning. I started dying laughing. I was like, "What the fuck is this? People are crazy."
All right, let's see. Here's the headline: Dodgers fire Shohei Ohtani's interpreter amid massive theft allegations. This is spinning it, by the way. Let me see another couple headlines.
So there was a video that showed Ohtani walking up to the interpreter. What's his name? Ippoli?
I can't pronounce it, but yeah.
Yeah, so he was walking up to the interpreter in the...
Ippi
in the dugout. And he's just like smiling and just like very casual. So like it sent the internet on their sleuth. Like, this is the guy that's gambling.
Okay, so yeah, it says, Dodgers explaining gambling scandal after Shohei Ohtani, interpreter, accused of stealing millions of dollars from Dodgers star. So, I mean, the good news is, at least publicly speaking, this guy's going to take the fall. We're not going to lose Ohtani. Because, look, from my perspective, I don't care.
Right.
I don't give a fuck. If this guy signs a $750 million deal and he wants to fuck off a few million betting on cricket,
yeah,
let him.
Right.
You know, let the guy have a little fucking fun.
Let him bet.
Let's think about this. Pete Rose isn't allowed in the fucking stadium.
Also insane, by the way. Like, look, I've met Pete Rose. He's a curmudgeon. He's he's a prick. He's everything that era, like, personality-wise represents. Like, you know how people, like, talk about Ty Cobb being, like, such a fucking asshole? Mm-hmm. That's Pete. But and he has a lot of flaws. And don't get me wrong, he was probably a gambling addict and a degenerate and a lot of things.
Stinky
but
Pete.
He's also one of the greatest hitters of all time. And he fucking bet on himself.
It's the wildest shit ever.
Mm-hmm. He got banned from betting on himself?
Yes.
Banned from baseball for life, not in the Hall of Fame, because as a manager, he bet on his teams to win. Insane. And like, we were talking about this at the table last night. And people were making the argument of like, oh, well, he has insider information like that. I'm like, it's not the fucking SEC overseeing this.
Yeah.
You think people give a shit about the bookies?
Right.
You know, like, oh, no, Pete has an edge against fucking McKeesport Mike down here taking running numbers for fucking Joey Buckala up in the Squirrel Hills. It's like, come on, man. We don't care.
I mean, the only argument is that he could have some type of like connection with the other coach and like
get the other coach to take a dive.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the manager I want to fucking hire.
Yeah. Get me W's,
are you kidding
baby?
Me? Yeah. He's not only paying people off to throw games against us, but then he's doubling down and recouping that money by betting? Genius!
Yeah, but you know, that's corruption, and that's that's some shit.
I'm being hyperbolic because it's corruption that like wouldn't make any sense.
Right? Why would you involve another person?
Because
like,
you just
not only that, but the other person could just like you know bet on himself instead,
yeah,
or whatever.
That's
you know
what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. There's. You couldn't be bought off as a manager, I don't think.
Right.
I mean, outside of, like, you know, some massive entity.
They play 182 games. A little bit of extra
62.
Money. 62. A little bit of extra money, a couple, 10 games out of the year. That's pretty nice.
Speaking of.
I disagree.
1 week away.
Come on, man. It's too early.
It's not too early.
It's way too early.
1 fucking week away.
It's way too early.
Let me have my moment.
Here's the thing. Not only is it too early right now.
it's too early in July.
It's too early a week from now. It's too early a month from now.
It's like, too early a year from now.
No, call you up in September. Say, how are we doing?
No. All-star break is when we can start talking Pirates. Because we'll know enough by then.
It's true.
Oh, well, I take that back.
Wait,
honestly, that's not true. The first 3 weeks, we get to talk about them a lot because they're going to come out hot.
Yeah,
for sure. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of talent. They'll fizzle right around the All-Star break.
And then around the trade deadline, we'll get your best players.
Exactly.
Get sent right to the Yankees.
Go Yanks.
Keep Ryan Haynes.
We're going to be buyers this time.
It's incredible.
You're never going to buy anything in Pittsburgh. It's not happening.
I'm going to buy waterfront property, buddy. It's remarkable that I haven't become a Yankees fan over all these years.
With all the Pirates
they've
that are
taken
on
every goddamn bit of talent that the Pirates have ever had outside of Barry Bonds.
Yep.
And I instantly became a Giants fan when Barry Bonds got released. It was just like, oh, that's my team now. That's my guy.
Got your Giants colors on right now?
That's right. Let's go, Smokey. Only you can prevent forest fires. Speaking of forest fires, let's take a look at who's cooking.
Ready or not, here I come. Jumped out with my soul leaking, going hard till I'm so eating. No chatting and no speaking, no dabbing with slow breathing. Damn, homie, you the man, homie. They can't do it, but you can, homie. They can't do it, but you can.
We got a few people to highlight today out here cooking in these streets.
Yes, we do.
First and foremost, the one and only, Landon Tice.
Yep.
Out here winning the dailies every single goddamn day.
Not the live ones.
He's not fucking around.
He doesn't know how to beat live players.
But man, if
but online players?
Yeah, if you want to talk about running daily events online, who does it better than
man,
this guy?
This guy.
Who does
what is it? Fifth dub of the month?
I don't fucking know. There's a lot of
he can't, lost count. Can't even he keep count. Lost count.
Bro's cooking so hard he can't even keep
I have
count.
His player scope open.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Players,
talk to me, kid.
Player scope. What is a player scope? What is this?
This is action dealer.
Look at this. A lot of scores.
Pretty impressive, sir.
Pretty nice.
What's that ROI?
Biggest cash, 85K. When did you cash for 85?
Oh, second in the bracelet.
This is like lifetime.
Yeah, this is lifetime.
Oh, I see.
Second in the 1K bracelet against James Gilbert.
Yeah, all right, Becker, I hope you're fucking watching, buddy. I hope you're paying attention. Get a little shook. That's right. My man's out here in the streets. He doesn't just win $400 birds for 40K. No. He's out here winning $55 events for fucking 3K. Okay?
Does it all.
Okay? My guy cooks.
My guy.
He's out here with that high heat oil, like olive oil and shit.
You said you wanted Becker like yesterday.
Yeah, well.
What do you think he's doing? He's trying to drive the price down.
He's trying to unload here, okay?
Come on, man. I'm trying to catch a wick.
green candle.
Also cooking in these tournament streets, the one and only Jason Kuhn. My guy just may have had the best entry to a final table that I have ever witnessed.
From the US, 1.3 million. Please welcome Jason.
No.
Jesus.
It's my stunt double.
Was that what I think it was?
Dude, that could have been so bad.
A no. backflip by Jason slips, like,
no shot. He's done it 100 times.
He wouldn't put himself in that spot to miss it.
Imagine, yeah, he just breaks his...
That's my stunt
God
double.
Forbid. Breaks something and can't beat the final table.
Right.
The Moorhead Eagles just started off with a 3. It's 3-0.
Let's fucking go Moorhead.
I'm pretty
Let's
sure.
Go.
I'm pretty,
it's on.
Yeah, he would have to be like hospitalized before he like missed. He'd be sitting there in a sling with like a broken collarbone still playing.
That,
people.
You know, that actually happened at a WPT final table. I think it was Boosted J.
Yes, his
was
ACL.
Celebrating and he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
Like heads up or three-handed and just,
no way.
You know, gritted through and fucking... Well, I mean, you honestly... As someone who's torn their ACL, there's nothing you can do immediately. I played a full game of softball after I tore my ACL.
I always find it, well, it's not funny because, you know, people are getting hurt.
They
but like, when they get hurt, like, celebrate. Remember Grammatica?
Oh, the was kicker.
The kicker?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember he, yeah. like, he used to do these crazy celebrations yes. when he'd, like, make, like a 25-yard field goal.
Yeah.
And he just, like, jumped in the air and just, like, tore his ACL or he tore some ligament. Was, like, out for the year.
Yeah.
There's been so much of those yeah. things, like, just getting hurt while celebrating for no reason.
Yeah.
You get excited.
All
I get
over.
It.
It's like excited. NFL, NCAA.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to get hurt while celebrating, you're probably going to get hurt anyway.
Wapo.
I want to know
right
like,
on it.
How many this? Times do people get hurt and not even realize it? Because
he's
rushing.
Like, oh, no. Oh, no.
That happened to That happened to someone in the Super Bowl. They were coming onto the field.
They made another one.
Moorhead lighted
it's
up from downtown.
It's 9-0. Three for three.
One of the defensive linemen.
No, Greenlaw. It was
He was sprinting on the field. He was hype, and he was sprinting on the field and just blew out his Achilles.
Crazy.
The Achilles injuries this year, wild.
So I was playing soccer once, and I broke my toe. Like, legit broke my toe.
That's nothing. Can't do anything for it.
Sure, whatever. So fucking...
He's a trooper, man.
I cut it off.
I played for another 2 hours or so.
Yeah.
Kind of hurt. Whatever. Sure. Didn't even really bother me, though. It wasn't. Sure. Whatever. I had no idea. Maybe like 3 hours later, I couldn't fucking move. I was in absolute tears. Oh. And it was just like, I realized it was the adrenaline that I was just from playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder how many times that happens in like professional sports.
Did you ever hear the Ronnie Lott story?
Nah.
He fractured his pinky in such a way that it was like, it basically like couldn't be fixed in the moment. It couldn't be reset. So I don't know if it was a compound fracture or if it was like dislocate, whatever. It was just like a bad, bad fracture. And this is in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Was going to require surgery. Couldn't reset it. It was in the Super Bowl. And they go, you can't go back in. And he goes, what do you mean I can't go back in? He goes, you broke your pinky. You cannot go back in. He goes, what if you cut it off? And they go, well, I suppose if we cut it off, you can go back in. He goes, cut it off.
What?
Motherfucker cut his pinky off at the knuckle.
Really?
You never heard this story?
No.
What the
Bro,
fuck
it's incredible.
Did you just say
no.
Pull up a picture of Ronnie Lott.
This can't be real.
100%.
No way.
No fucking way.
Absolutely accurate.
He cut his finger
they
off.
They told him that he could not go back in the game the way he was, and he goes, cut it off.
But I don't understand. Like, why? How is cutting it off make it better?
Because they couldn't set it.
Okay.
And, I think it was like it needed attention, so he probably was
why
being
couldn't
ushered
they just
to
wrap it up.
They needed to set it. You couldn't like leave it unset. It'll, you know, swell and heal and like you won't be able to set it later. So he was just gonna like, oh, you don't have to play a full video, but if you could just find a picture of Ronnie Lott like holding his Super Bowl ring, you'll see that he has no finger.
That's amazing.
How have I
never heard about this?
This is insane.
He had his finger amputated.
That's
the long recovery time after reconstructive surgery.
That's what football used to be, a real man's sport.
Men used to go to war.
Fucking cut your finger off to keep playing.
Men used to go to war. Oh, by the way, now they're instituting a new hybrid kickoff.
Yeah.
So people don't get hit any longer.
Right.
They're going to bring flags onto the field. It's going to be 5-on-5. And they're only going to let Tyreek Hill return kicks.
Oh, yeah.
A whole season long.
For every single team.
Yeah, they want for every team, yeah. Right.
Quite honestly, it's kind of weird how much like advantage the offenses are getting. Like when it comes to everything in every sport, basketball, football.
Well, every sport is going to advertise themselves as more offensive minded. Even hockey is like the scoring has gone significantly up over the last few years.
I mean, hockey, they needed it. Like hockey was kind of boring.
Well,
for
with basketball and football, like they don't care. Nobody wants to watch a 7-0 game. Same thing with baseball. I mean, I want to watch a 1-0 pitcher's duel, but like I'm a purist.
Yeah, so do I.
Most other people just like don't. They want to see bombs.
Right.
So they're like, you know, yeah, strike out a bunch and use the launch angle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Break some fucking records.
So Ronnie Lott's cooking.
So Ronnie Lott cooked.
Ronnie Lott's been
fucking
he's forever cooking.
He is forever cooking. That is such a gangster thing to pull up at parties. Like, somebody starts telling like a glory day story, then you're just like, yeah, I remember. I played a little ball back in my day.
guess what they do nowadays? Fucking Kevin Ware breaks his leg, gets off the court.
Come on. To this day, I've still not watched that injury.
Dude, it's
so gruesome.
It's that burned into my brain.
That was from March Madness, too.
Yeah. It's so gruesome.
I can see his...
I still remember it vividly. We were at Mesa Verde. We were watching March Madness in the side room. And it happened to happen when I had turned away. And the whole room reacted. And I was like, I'm never looking back at that television. Until like this game is fucking over. It was insane how many times they played the replay.
I can't believe Guapo hasn't pulled it up yet.
I'll turn my screen off. I don't care.
No, please don't shoot it. Let's move on.
Don't,
hey, guys, speaking of fingers falling off, did you guys hear that Canseco's finger at a poker game like fell off from like infection or some shit?
What? Are you just making shit up?
No, I actually heard about this.
Source,
like,
I made it up.
He wasn't getting it treated or something, and like,
can we get his daughter on
poker,
the podcast?
And I guess it just
my finger fell.
What the fuck?
Got to talk to Josie.
My finger fell off, and someone took a video of it.
Okay, where's the video?
I'm sorry. What?
How did you guys not hear about this?
This was.
I played softball
with
him.
All these fingers?
He had to get surgery after shooting himself in the hand.
It was very loose with no bone to connect it. It was also smelling really bad.
Oh my god!
It just had a gangrenous fucking finger.
It fell off when he was playing poker.
I put my finger in the freezer. Anybody want finger appetizers?
Or is it finger snacks?
I played softball with him. He's a fucking monster.
Legend.
It said he shot himself?
Yeah,
he shot himself in the hand October 28th.
Yeah. This is 10 years ago.
He was cleaning his gun in the kitchen, then he fired it.
This is another thing that boggles my mind. I grew up around guns. My dad was a fanatic, and I've done a lot of disassembling, cleaning, shooting, all these things. How does somebody fucking sloppily clean a gun that's chambered?
I don't know.
Like, there are protocols you go through, right. So this exact thing never fucking happens.
Maybe look down the...
This is the same guy that let a ball bounce off his
head. Yeah, that's fair. You're right. He also broke the biggest scandal in sport. Man, imagine if podcasts were a thing back then.
What
Jose Canseco would be 10 times
richer
than he is.
He's the one that kind of blew the whistle on all the steroids that was going on.
Barry Bonds, Alex Ray.
Imagine how dumb we were, man.
Yeah, he's the one that, because he was obviously doing it, and he was just like, listen, I did it, we all did it, here's all the people that did it.
This is like an interview or something? This is an interview? And
I mean, it was a multiple.
Did he get caught, which is why it started?
No, he wasn't even in baseball anymore. He
just wrote a book.
He wrote a book. Imagine how dumb we were. We looked at fucking Jose Canseco in 1999. Yeah. I mean, we looked at him from 1987 all the way to 1999. We were just like, oh yeah, that's normal.
Oh my god, this guy's Jack.
That's an athlete.
Mark McGuire. Barry Bonds.
takes Andro. Yeah. You know, of course. That's what athletes look like. You know, we're regular people. We don't look like that. Right. They look like bodybuilders.
Sammy Sosa looks real awkward now. I'll tell you that much.
He lost the pigmentation in his skin.
Yeah.
I don't think it was on purpose. Well, I don't know. I've heard conflating stories.
You look at Andrew McCutchen from rookie year. Sure, he was a little skinnier. To now, he looks normal.
This guy's like a monster.
Yeah.
Like with the TV screen.
Bro, him and McGuire looked like the cartoon characters from RBI Baseball on the Nintendo. Right? There was like three body types on RBI Baseball.
Look at him.
There was the Jose Canseco body type. Then there was like the Ricky Henderson body type. And then there was like the David Wells body type. And that was it. And the Jose Canseco body type was just like, he had a waist this big and then shoulders this broad.
Yeah. Now there's only two people that look like that. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
Judge is thin.
Judge and Stanton trimmed way down.
He lost a lot of weight this year.
Yeah, he trimmed way down, and it's working because they played this game against the Pirates yesterday, and he hit three home runs on the same pitcher, including a grand slam.
He needs it because last year was he looked real nice. Bad, and he just had.
Yeah, they were talking about not re-signing him.
No, he looks real nice. The Yankees
too much. Too much money.
Well, the Yankees lineup is so ridiculous. Yeah, like, imagine like you're a pitcher, and then now you have to face like Rizzo. Like, you have like Rizzo, and then you have like Juan Soto, and then after
getting Juan Soto and, right, and then, him only fitting into the two spot,
and then after him you Gleyber have to Torres. Face then you have to face Judge, and then after him you have to face Stanton,
yeah,
and then you have Volpe, who's right. batting ninth, who hits like 30 bombs a year.
Yeah, when you acquire Soto and you look at the lineup, you're like, well, two holes like the best yeah. we can do, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. We kind of have an all-star roster here.
Yeah, it's sick.
I wonder where actually Soto does end up, because Gleyber Torres is a good two, it feels like.
No, I'm pretty sure Soto's two, right. Judge is three.
Soto's like a natural three hitter, but like, yeah, you're going to move him to like two. If he's fast enough, one, but I think he's probably too far along in his career to hit him lead off. I mean, guys like that make a good seven-hole hitter, but like you just waste at bats that way.
So
like,
many
you know, he's gonna lose like 10 or 15% of his at bats if you put him in the seven hole. Maybe not in that lineup.
Not talking baseball, huh?
Well, talking baseball is way different than talking Pirates baseball.
That's true.
All right, last man who's cooking. I think we owe this guy a huge round of applause, because quite frankly, this was more impressive than the Jason Kuhn backflip.
The last chef standing.
I don't know what that means, but this was the best sideline interview I think I've ever seen in my entire life, and we absolutely owe it to Airball for his new career path. Congratulations, buddy. Like, you're it.
From the Hustle Casino live stage, joined by the game, Brown Bala, who is currently stuck $63,000 in today's
2550
game. $120,000. Wow, live update from the stage. He's currently stuck $120,000 in today's 2550 game. He just lost another pot in his heads up and stand up. How are you feeling, Ishan, and do you think you will survive this heads up round?
I got cucked, bro.
Fresh off your cuckage. Now, I'd like to know, what are your thoughts on the punt of the day when Mariano seven bet jammed ace king straight into Joust pocket rockets, resulting in a $163K debacle of a hand?
I can't really judge, because I just shoved 60,000 into trips in a 10K pot.
Things are just heating up here on the Hustler Casino Live stage.
Does he always sound like
I'm
that?
Nick Airball, yes. Hustler Casino Live. Charlie, back to you. I'm Nick Airball from the Hustler Casino floor, joined.
He wants to be monogamous.
Oh, yeah?
He goes, after fucking three girls a day for the last 20 years, I gotta tell you, I think I'm a one-woman man.
This shit's tired. There's a difference between wanting and doing.
That's true. Yeah, Kirsten has been cooking. She made back-to-back final tables in the circuit, I believe.
I think it was a circuit, yeah.
She got second and fourth, or fourth and second.
Fourth in the main.
On Sunday. Yeah. Fourth on Sunday, and then second on Monday. And then she had another final table previously.
She had a couple seconds in the rings recently also. She's been absolute cooking.
Also, big shout out to Lily Newhouse. She got third or fourth?
Third. She's cooking. Third. She's been cooking 2K. A lot lately, too.
Yep.
Everybody's fucking cooking, man. Everyone's cooking.
What'd you do last night?
I ran Kings and Daces.
I heard you got cooked.
I got cooked. Honestly.
Gotta get Nick Airball in there to do some reporting from Bobby's room.
Wow. I both lost the maximum. I was thinking about it.
How many bets went in pre?
Five, and I truly probably could have folded, but only because of a read.
Was that all of it, or did it?
We were 120K deep. We put in 27,000 pre.
Yeah.
I had a read.
He did not stack me. I lost the maximum in two spots where most other people probably would just check fold flop because they play too fucking tight, but I don't. So I did the right thing and check raised.
Sick brag.
Yep.
And got punished for it.
Yep. Just pay.
And then... I lost the minimum with the Kings versus Aces for sure. I think anybody else gets stacked there in some capacity. But he didn't want my money. He did not want my money, and I appreciate him for it. So I only lost 40K. That's not too terrible after being up 80. No big deal. I'm not cooking. Other people not cooking. Since we're going down that path. there are plenty, let me tell you. We've already discussed that Ohtani is not cooking. Our man Durr is not cooking again. Now, obviously, this is just speculation. Take it for what it's worth. The source is Doug Polk. So, you know, I think that comes with some level of credibility. But on the recent Lodge stream, and by the way, this is something that I have to tell you too often will happen. People forget that these mics are eavesdropping and that the table talk doesn't just go unheard, you know? Right. So you have to be kind of careful what you say. Although I imagine Doug's going to be putting out a video, so he probably doesn't give a shit that it went out publicly, but they were discussing Tom Dwan and his most recent debts, owing a couple hundred thousand. I think Terrace was basically saying, like, that's not a lot of money to him. Why doesn't he clean up these debts? To which Doug replied,
I'm just inquiring, you know?
Pretty good knowledge that he owes about $30
million. $30 million? That's what you heard?
$30
million. Christ. Oh, my God.
And so when these people hop up and they owe him, he owes them a couple hundred K.
Yeah, but, like, pay off a couple hundred K.
Well, but maybe the people with the bigger balances are people that you really would want to make sure they get paid. Hmm.
Interesting.
You're saying prioritize the small guys. Well, the big guys came first.
I mean, there's a strategy of paying off your debts. Start with the smallest one.
That's a strategy.
The silence is loud.
What if they're more dangerous?
More dangerous.
Well, but then you'll have fewer things to worry about, you know? Like, okay, all right, cool. I paid off all the small couple hundred K.
Yeah, the small
ones. Now let's work on the $30 million one.
The small
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, if he pays, what, like $100 a week, he should be able to get that down by, I don't know, the end of time.
So I got to tell you, Terrace, not real good at reading between the lines here. Doug was obviously being very careful with his words. He was quite aware that he was mic'd up. You could see the hesitation before he said, like, I have it on good authority, yada, yada, yada. But
I know things.
He basically kept saying, like, you know, he owes upwards of $30 million, and Terrace is like, well, then, yeah, pay off the fucking chump change so these guys don't call you out publicly. And he's like, what if the other people are scary?
Scary, dangerous people.
And Terrace is just like, I don't really see the issue there. Give a couple hundred thousand to these guys, make them go away, and then, you know, start paying back the $30 million. Like, as if it's just sitting somewhere in a safe.
Right.
You know, like, oh, yeah, sorry, I've been meaning to get that to you.
Oh, $30 million.
My bad, you know.
Oh, no. That's a lot.
Oh, all right, we're good.
Maybe
our mics weren't on for a while.
How long is a while?
I don't know, but there's a lot of no sounds in the chat.
It was off.
No
for
audio.
Like,
still no audio.
15 seconds.
We have it now.
Oh,
are
you
we
mean
back?
Like after the...
All right, we're back.
Another segment. It's fine.
Okay. That was long, long ago. Conrad, I thought we banned you from looking at the chat.
What do you mean? Literally says no audio 20 seconds
Guapo's
ago.
Guapo's on it. You right. know, you, right. Are you questioning the man? He's cooking, okay? Indeed. Every day, Guapo is cooking.
Yes.
My guy hasn't slept in 3 weeks.
I mean, today it begins, though. I get to sleep.
Yeah.
Triton's over.
Triton is
Guapo
over.
Guapo finally gets to sweep again. Sweepy. Like, like our little baby here on
if
the...
If Durr wins the main event the next 3 years, no problem.
That's true. That's true. No problem.
No problem. We even have some
left
over.
I don't know if there's, you know, if the people he owes want to wait 3 years, but...
Here's the thing. Like,
seems like a solution.
I don't know how true this debt is. Obviously, we're memeing it quite a bit, and maybe that's a little bit unfair because there's no reason for it to be public. Like, none of his collectors are calling him out outside of specifically Peter.
People have not spoken.
Which seems to be a very small amount by comparison. Now
he's one of the less scary people.
Yeah, we're talking about 96,000.
Yeah.
Whenever it might be upwards of 30 million.
Right. For Durr's sake, I hope. Doug's wrong.
Right. Well, that was the other thing I was going to get at. It's like people often mistake or misrepresent what debt actually is. There's a million ways that Durr could be in debt. He could be $30 million in makeup. That's certainly not the same
Bruno
as
Mars is in debt.
Bruno, he is rivaling. I don't know that he quite has the singing chops as Bruno to
Bruno
get
Mars
a $90 million.
Tom Dwan.
Yeah.
At the Aria.
Cuts him in on the $90 million
deal.
Yeah,
get in
like,
there.
Oh, let's get you out.
Start singing, Dirk.
Point is, like, Dirk could just be. Dirk could be in makeup. Dirk could be partially in debt. I mean, there's a million ways where he could be like holding money for someone that he potentially. I'm
some
really,
of this debt could have already been written off and.
Yeah, correct.
And not even exist.
He might have bought debt for someone else, and like now he's on the hook. He might have vouched. There's so many ways where right. he may be in a bad spot. He may not be in a bad spot. But the point that I'm trying to arrive at is. First of all, we don't have any public details. I assume Doug wouldn't have said that if he didn't plan on releasing some sort of public statement, but I don't know. I don't want to make assumptions. Even still, I have a suspicion that one way or another, Durr's in a position to at a bare minimum work that sort of debt off. Right? Like these numbers feel all very gaudy to us, but it's all relative. There are plenty of guys who throughout the years were talented poker players and accrued millions in debt, maybe 2 million, maybe 3 million, something along those lines. And they just remained in action. And everybody was like, well, how? It's like, because they're fucking good.
What was that?
Those are the guys looking for Durr.
Well, that was quite a stretch. These are samurais. Aren't they Japanese?
Stop, man. I'm working here. Good Lord.
Work harder.
I'm trying.
You're no longer cooking.
Sorry.
Someone DM'd me to.
These are samurais.
How do you know he doesn't own like owe $30 million to a bunch of, you know, samurais?
I'm just saying. That's a little racist.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, shit. The guapito, racito.
You're not helping.
We're not trying to.
Yeah. Figured.
Thought not helping here.
Does anybody have tortillas?
Can you pull up BitBee's? Not BitBee. Wait, is it BitBee? Hold on a second.
Is that the crazy guy that hunted down and then lost his mind?
That's who I'm trying to say, yes. BitBoy. Sorry.
BitBee is Patrick Stable.
Yes, I know. I realized immediately the mistake that I had made.
Wrong guy.
I realized immediately. So it's at BitBoy _ crypto. Somebody DM'd me today and said that he had a thread somewhere also calling out Dwan. Let me see if I can find it for you.
I'm on it.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take BitBoy's word for meaning anything. He's not exactly the most reputable source in any sort of arena, but it looks like this isn't his personal page. This is some sort of like news page, I guess. I'm not really sure. And I can't use the search feature on desktop the way that I could on whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, that's probably something I should have just looked at before I went to air. I was too busy making pancakes, though.
You were cooking.
I was cooking. I physically and literally was cooking. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that this debt getting aired is anything more than gossip. I mean, like, that's kind of the way that it was framed, too. Of like, well, I heard.
I have it on good authority.
That he's 30 million. I mean, like, look, outside of just, hey, maybe don't do business with somebody who might not pay you back. I don't really think that this impacts Durr's image or anyone else. And also it might explain why he's taking a job, you know? Might explain that ACR ambassadorship. He's goodwill, you know? I'll sign $1 million deal, start sending you 100K a month, maybe over the next 10, 20 years. If I don't end up in a ditch, we'll pay you off.
Yeah.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
In the world of high stakes gambling, though, like this type of stuff is not that uncommon. So many different ways to both acquire debt and like be owed yourself. I mean, I can't tell you how many spots when you're gambling for high stakes you get put into where you are playing a game that you're not being free rolled per se. But when you lose, you will be expected to pay immediately because you have a huge edge in the spot. And like, basically that's the gift of giving you the seat is the expectation that when you lose, you pay immediately. And when you win, you wait a very long period of time to be paid off. And like, this is another way that it easily could have happened. Like he might be in a situation where he can't transfer debt. He might be owed like $100 million from games that he's just crushed. And then he took out debt against that, right? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, like, you can't zero it out. There's just like so many fundamental ways where Tom could have kind of done nothing wrong and landed with a big figure over his head. So I don't really think that this is the big scary monster that it's kind of being presented to be. I just think this is the nature of underground high stakes gambling.
Yeah, I think that's good to clarify it that way.
Yeah.
So people have perspective on what possibly could be going on.
Yeah, I think the notion is to paint him as like a deadbeat Welch. And quite frankly, if it does come to air that he's $30 million in debt, now I think even more so it's not about the money with Peter. Right? Like, it seems like even more so him now finding $90K to fix things with Peter, mm-hmm. it seems more stubbornness than anything else at this point. Or maybe, I guess, like, he feels betrayed by an old friend. Whatever. I don't know. But that's the latest update on Durwatch 2024.
Durwatch. Dun dun.
Stay tuned for more to see who gets cooked in this debt collection agency.
Yeah.
Weird world we're living in, man. The thing is, too, like, it has a lot to do with Twitter. A lot to do with social media. Like, this stuff all happened 15 years ago, too. To this magnitude, if not greater. I'm sure there are a lot of big names that you would be shocked to find out, like, what their tally is throughout the years. But nobody was talking about it. Like, it spread word of mouth amongst people that would be doing business with these individuals, right? Like, it wasn't a big public warning so much as it was, hey, you know, like, maybe if you have so-and-so in the game, make sure they post. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big thing. When you're running private games, especially if you don't want there to be a security threat by having a lot of cash on hand, you'll often do it with a debt sheet or a ledger of some sort. There are certain guys that, like, you want in the game, but not at the risk of giving them credit, you know? So, like, they just have to post.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then... You know, it becomes a really dicey situation. There are a lot of people who've gambled on not making those types of individuals post and running into it, you know?
Yeah.
Then somebody has to vouch for it or eat it. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about the cooking, not cooking. And is Kevin Martin on the not cooking list?
He is. Oh, he is, actually.
Poor Kev.
That was where I was going next. Good call. He actually got cooked.
I got you.
He got cooked. Kev Martin... You know, he pitched this idea to me. We were at a retreat together in Utah with Elliot, and he was like, bro, let's start from zero and go on the road and just fucking stream it. And I said,
no.
Kev? I go, that sounds like great content, man. But I've worked too goddamn hard to go back to my roots of having nothing. Like, do I think I can make it as a broke individual? Probably. Do I want to try?
You don't want to pretend to be broke again.
Right. Right. It's a big sacrifice for a lot of reasons. Like, forget the inconvenience of everyday life, because look, we're human beings are resilient. The body's resilient. You can deal with a little less sleep. You can deal with a little less comfort. You can deal, like, he didn't go hungry. He didn't go without shelter. You know, he was still pretty set up, all things considered. So forget about the inconveniences. That's just a short term thing that you sacrifice in order to make good content. It's not just that. It's, you're inconveniencing yourself, and you're also cutting your hourly by like 1/1,000th just on the hopes that you're making content good enough that you can recoup some of it, right? Like, it'll get watched enough, or it'll open enough doors down the line that it makes it worthwhile.
Can you explain exactly what he was doing?
Yeah. So he set out to... It's like the most extreme version of a bankroll challenge. He had absolutely nothing. He had a few material goods, like headphones and a few other things. And he got set up in I think he was in Canada. I'm pretty sure he was in Canada. Got set up in like a studio apartment with full 360 degree camera shots and like Big Brother style live streamed his life 24/7.
Wow.
And you know, he's done this before. He was on Big Brother a couple of times, Big Brother mm-hmm. Canada. He won it once. So this is like right up his alley. But the thing was, he had to acquire a bankroll somehow. So he would go out and, like, I think his first challenge was he sold maybe his headphones for like $60 or something like that. and then deposited on GG. He was going out and like doing odd jobs. Like I think he worked as a barista for a few hours and, you know, filming it all along the way and vlogging it. It's a really cool concept. It's a really cool idea. I think the biggest reason why it misses the mark is because he already has an audience and he already clearly has made it. So it becomes a little bit, I don't know if tone deaf is the right word, but it's a fake struggle, right? It's a self-imposed struggle, and it's not the same as the audience that he's trying to reach that's actually going through this rinse and repeat struggle.
He's really just appropriating my life.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Just talk
right.
to Conrad.
He should have just set Conrad up with cameras. Right?
Like, it's fucking absurd.
He just cut out the middleman. Like,
absolutely. As a matter of fact, I should get one of these fucking sites to sponsor the real life.
Exactly.
The real life part of it.
Exactly. Like, literally, we could just sell the cons. I mean, look, Kev tried. There was only two ways it was going to end. He was going to make $5,000 or he was going to quit. And he quit after 500 hours.
There's no quitting
couldn't
here.
Take it well, there is no quitting for you.
Right. What do you mean? What do you mean? Won Franco Challenge.
$5,000.
No, there's no quitting.
Yeah, no, but he would have won.
That doesn't matter. Who? There's no quitting.
He
it's
won the 500 freeze-off for 8K.
It doesn't matter. It's a life challenge.
It's greater than 5K.
Bro, that's not... He doesn't get... And then what? He gets the return to what? 8K yeah. doesn't even put a dent in the tab.
It doesn't even sound like...
Bro doesn't start paying rent until he makes like 15. Like, what are you talking? There's no end. Like, he doesn't get to opt out.
There
he doesn't
is
get
no
to
opting.
Say, yeah, he doesn't get to say like, oh, I hit my goal. What's your goal? 30 million?
Are you saying
give it to Dirk?
Are you saying the show goes on?
Yeah, the show goes on. It's the fucking Dirk Challenge.
You can't
man.
Quit the fucking show. You can't quit.
You are the show. You're the Truman Show.
Like, it might just be like a 6-month project.
Six months?
No, well, you can't. I mean, you can't just do it everlasting, like forever.
No, the hopes are that you die or you fucking make some money.
Yeah, of course, but like just for
honestly,
the content part.
I don't know. I think you could. You're a fucking cockroach, man. You like live month to month on negative dollars. It's incredible.
Can't
like,
kill him.
Honestly, you could show that could be a long-standing fucking reality show for years. It was the Troopers vlog for like 6 years.
It's rough life.
What's
rough
he up to?
Life.
I don't know. Drinking Starbucks, I guess. That's the only thing I know of him.
About it.
And just gets his coffee. He's got his girlfriend. You know, just hanging, banging. No, but legit, like, we're having a lot of fun with this. And it would be miserable. Like, imagine adding that layer of stress on top of... like. But...
He wanted you to do this with him?
Yeah. I mean...
You would never.
No. I would do it in a different way.
I would probably strive it.
Yeah, you do it in a different way by not doing it at all.
No, I would just never do it. Like, I don't like the framing. I don't like the framework through which he built
right.
it. Right. Where
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like, I'm going to go back to zero.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, you can't put toothpaste back in the bottle. Like,
right.
you are where you are. You know what you know. You're not actually broke. There isn't the same level of pressure.
Right.
But I would do something that's out of
if
our
you
comfort
fail,
zone.
You just go back to your normal
right,
life.
Right. Exactly. There's really no risk. I would do something. I would do something like this or something adjacent to this. That's out of our comfort zone. Like if it was like, you know, let's be homeless for a week or a month. Like, and honestly, like even that feels insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
If well, you're gonna but maybe like something like a Survivor yeah. Man challenge.
I was literally about to yeah. say, remember we used to talk about this, like when we first moved here, like we watched Survivor Man, right? And we were like, let's do like Survivor Man, the Las Vegas Strip.
Right.
And you get like $20 and see how long you can like last or you can't leave the strip. And you just get $20. You got to make it work. Like, do you like, you know, go get like a $5 meal somewhere, and then that's like a quarter of it. Do you try to gamble right. it up? What do you do with it? Right.
So, yeah. But like, yeah. I also would just like, yeah. If it was just like, okay, hey, you have to go, like camp for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll provide you with certain baseline necessities. We'll give you like
a multi-tool.
Yeah, we'll give you like a multi-tool. We'll give you a tent for shelter.
So what's Army knife?
We'll give you a fire
Michael
starter.
Michael Scott tried this and he lasted about an hour.
Right.
He cut his pants to right. make a bandana.
Yeah, like we'll give you a fire starter. We'll give you like some baseline food that if you ration it can last the entire time, but also like it'll incentivize you to go forage for your own.
Right.
I would do something like that because it has nothing to do with your stature in life. It has nothing to do with like your actual skill sets that you've monetized. And it has nothing really to do with, you know, regressing off of what you've accomplished, right? And I feel like that's where this Kevin Martin thing kind of missed the mark a little bit, where you're like superimposing yourself. It's like whenever those CEOs dress in disguise and go be factory line workers.
What's that show called?
I don't know.
Undercover Boss?
Yeah, yes. Undercover Boss, yeah. It's like, you know, I get the point of the show. It's always trying to, like, you know, teach a big modeled lesson to the boss and, like, humble him and have him have empathy and all that stuff. And
you were so nice to me. Hey, I'm going to give you a raise.
Maybe it works, right?
You're fired.
Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But the point is, at the end of the day, he gets to go home to his nice, comfy, eight-figure mansion, and they're still going to be working the assembly line when it's all said and done. So, like, yeah, you might get a better perspective, but, like, you're still very far removed from one another. When you get humbled by the elements, like by the aspects of just surviving because you don't have a choice, that's way, way, way fucking different. It doesn't matter how rich you are if you're in the woods with nothing but a tent and a multi-tool.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's just no escape here. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be fascinating because you get a lot more of the true human experience. Mm-hmm. For Kev, it's like you're getting the human experience, but you're also getting like a bit of a play almost, right? Because it's all things that he's already excelled at. It's reality TV, which he's very good at. It's poker, which he's very good at. It's improv and being outgoing and finding ways to you know, get help or jobs or whatever to earn in the interim, right? And it's like he's just very good at all those things. So there isn't really, we're not really watching that much level of discomfort. We're just watching somebody go insane because he has to play 1/100th the stakes that he's used to playing, you know, and now flips really matter because there's no rebuy. It's like, motherfucker, just put a camera in our living room, watch Conrad satellite his way into the 250. I'll give you this content 7 days a week, you know, but I do think that there is, I do think that there is a constant sentiment in the community that they want to see. The problem is that you want to see how people who have made it did it. You want to see that process, but you can't reverse engineer it. Once they've made it, once they're known and you care enough about them that you want to know what their process was, they can't go back and demonstrate it for you. And I think that's why Brad Owen's so popular.
Brad, Rampage, it's all the same.
Specifically those two. You really got to watch them grow up on camera.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they just went from absolute zero to, you know, playing the biggest stakes in the world, especially for Rampage. You know, he's playing the same games I am all the time. And just firing off seven figures. It's like 3 years ago, this kid was playing penny stakes,
right?
4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever, you know. So yeah, I think it was a really well-intended idea. I even think like the execution aspect of it being like 24/7 cameras and, you know, kind of having that big brother style of always being able to check in on them kind of thing. I think that was really cool. My best guess is the analytics didn't align. Like, probably just wasn't super popular.
It was not a banger.
It's tough because, you know, we know this from doing the pod. When you do a bunch of long form content, the long form is just a proxy for creating more short form content. So if you're not just churning out dozens and dozens and dozens of reels and hoping that, you know, 5% of them fucking hit, then you're just kind of creating the content for nothing, you know, because the actual viewership on many, many, many hours of kind of the same thing.
I wonder how much crossover from his Big Brother audience that he got, because I know there's people that, like, you know, when Big Brother is going on, there's got these live feeds, they're 24/7.
Right.
There are people that grind them. They watch them. Like, Michelle follows a bunch of people on Twitter where you can just, like, instead of watching them, you can just, you know, just have to follow someone on Twitter and they'll tell you kind of what's going on. But like, there's people that literally watch them all day long, nonstop. So, I don't know if he had the crossover from his fans.
I would
fans
bet initially he
there,
did.
Because I'm sure he has a bunch of Big Brother fans, you know, winning the game.
Yeah.
So, but I like, maybe that just tapers off throughout, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, when it was a new project, I imagine like the interest level out of the gate was probably very high.
And it's just like one person. It's not like they're just living in a house and there's a bunch of like,
and there's
drama,
not much controversy.
Happened.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the biggest controversy is like, is he or is he not going to get the barista job for the day?
Yeah.
You know, is he going to
Is he going to
final
win this
table
flip?
This $5 MTT where first is like $450?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. I think an element of it that could have made it more appealing to the general audience would have been if he had a big bet in place. So if he was like risking $50,000 to win $50,000, something like that.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, maybe you don't quit at 500 hours and you just have to endure. There is some comfort in watching people's pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of appeal to seeing people struggle and go through things, presuming that it's not like detrimental to their mental health or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, we like to watch people physically struggle. We like to watch from fit to fat to fit again, and mm-hmm. you know, kind of like go through the actual process that a lot of people can relate to and stuff like that. But yeah, we don't want to watch them actually go insane.
Right.
No, that wouldn't be fun.
Well, there goes my idea.
You're a little different. You're already insane. So I think you already set the baseline.
Do we just call this?
Honestly, like, I actually think that you could do this really well.
I think I could do it too. Like, I've been thinking about it for years. I don't know what it is. Like, there's some type of fucking block I have just like starting it. If I just start something.
Well, it's pretty unnerving to have people just watching you 24/7.
I mean, I wouldn't do the 24/7 probably.
Yeah, the trouble with not doing the 24, even with doing the 24/7, the biggest trouble with any sort of content like this is that you need a lot of, like, you need an editing team.
I mean, without 24/7, it just turns into a vlog, really.
You still need an editing team.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me this bullshit that you're the editor.
I am a chief master editor.
Yeah, chief master editor.
Chief muck editor.
Speaking of chief master editing, don't forget
master chief.
That we are headed to the WPT cruise next week. I'm super pumped for this. Just got confirmed that I'm going to be playing the big game there, which is really exciting news.
Now you're back in. You're back in on the cruise.
I'm back in.
How big is the big game?
At least 300, 500, maybe 351. I think I'm gonna have like a million in play.
Let's go.
I think I'm going to be really ripping it. I got upgraded to a suite, so we're happy.
Wow. Living life,
You guys have fun, baby.
Oh, that's funny. I wasn't going to say anything, but I think they screwed up on my reservation thing because I have a suite as well.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, he's not telling the truth.
No, I'm lying. I'm joking. Yeah.
He's a terrible fucking liar, man. I want to play Cards Against You so bad. You bluff.
I don't even understand that lie, though. What was the point of that?
Because that's the way he lies. He picks the most innocuous lie ever that would like never be believable. Like, his cousin is playing for the Mexican. Hey,
that one got through.
That one was perfect.
That one got
it was
through.
So good. And it was because Hunt was implying something.
It
kind
got
of.
Through to Hunt. Like, Conrad and I were texting each other on the side immediately.
Okay. Within seconds. Me and Berkey were texting, dying laughing because that we knew what was going on. It was so good.
Yeah, Guapo's like a 5-year-old where it's like he knows lying's bad, so he doesn't want to do anything. Like, he doesn't want to do anything hurtful, yeah. You know?
Right.
It's just like, I also got a suite. How about that?
How about them apples?
But yeah, if you guys are interested in joining, there are still rooms available. Hit hashtag Voyage in the chat. It will give you all the information that you need. I am pretty pumped from this. The reason I brought it up is because we're going to be podcasting from the boat.
Yes.
We have a really cool setup there. Still trying to figure it out. I don't think we're going to be able to make it work with the ocean scene in the background unless we film early in the day. Mm-hmm. It's so dope, though. Like, full panoramic window shot of the entire ocean. Which, actually, when we're at sea, probably wouldn't be quite as picturesque. Because it would just be blue on blue. You know, like, you wouldn't be able to tell where the sky ends and the ocean begins.
Yeah, maybe.
But like, when they're docked, they send us pictures now while they're docked. Mm-hmm. And it's like you see the whole shoreline in the background, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a nice setup there. We're not going to be able to do it live because the Wi-Fi is not going to be good enough. But we're going to film probably every morning and try to get it uploaded by our normal time. Fingers crossed that we're going to be able to pull that off. I'm not sure what the upload speeds are going to look like, but that's the initial goal. If not, then we'll be trying to upload for the afternoon. But one way or another, we're going to be bringing podcasts to you from the ship. Really hopeful to get a handful of interviews. Got a loose confirmation from JRB. I think that would be really fun. Kick around some war stories.
That would be great.
Gonna.
I feel like that would be like one of our best guests ever.
For sure.
And if he opens up.
Like, he is a remarkable storyteller.
Yeah.
Just remarkable. Like, I think that there is something very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, very endearing about somebody who is both humble, maybe humble is not the right word, somebody who has been humbled, let's say, okay. From his situation in life or from the game itself or whatever, but then also on the other aspect of it is like just very Not necessarily to the level of pretentious, but like very self-confident, very like full of himself. In
kind
the same
of arrogant
way.
In a way.
Yeah. And what you end up with in the middle is just like this incredible ability to just like tell a very colorful story. And, you know, he's been gambling high stakes for the better part of 2 decades. Mm-hmm. So literally he's seen it all. Every character that you could imagine. I was lucky to kind of get a little bit of a preview of that during my time in Bobby's room, but or not Bobby's room, Ivy's room. But man, it's just like, you, this is why I think I'm downplaying the Durr thing, because like, you just can't fucking believe some of the things that happen.
Yeah, I can imagine.
To wealthy people who gamble a lot.
Yeah.
It's truly, truly remarkable. Like, we're talking like kidnappings, when they're traveling overseas. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the members just gets kidnapped and held for ransom. Not like, you know, someone young. Just like somebody wealthy just gets picked up at a train station and fucking kidnapped.
That happened to one of like a catcher for some MLB team. So his family member got like kidnapped in like Colombia or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it happens a lot in like people who come from impoverished countries. Yeah. You come from the Dominican, you come from these places where like baseball is your way out.
It might have been Cervelli.
It was Cervelli.
Yeah, it was Cervelli. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Whatever happened to him?
He went to the Yankees.
He
came from the Yankees.
Oh, that's right.
We got him from the Yankees.
That's right.
And then he ended up, he retired, and then he was coaching Padres, maybe?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, ridiculous things. There was another story where they played hold him for 7 hours. After a flight to Europe, everybody was super tired. No, not one card. They were playing with a short deck.
Oh, yeah.
They were playing with a short deck for 7 hours and nobody fucking noticed. You know how incredible that is?
There had to be someone in the game that fucking noticed.
God damn it. I can never find the deuce when I need it.
There just has to
be
somebody.
Is there a brick in this fucking deck?
Yeah, it's like, man, I'm just getting down a lot of good hands.
Yeah, somebody in that game was like, this is a short deck and I don't think
everybody
knows.
Every fucking time, ace on the turn.
Like, a lot of big boards here, jeez.
Like, we play with a fucking pinochle deck? Actually.
Kinda.
Not that far off. So yeah, I think he would be a really great guest to get. Looking forward to it. Hopefully we can get some others that showed up. I know Brad and Andrew. Actually, Brad's not going because he's having a kid. Mm. Congratulations to him. I think that's...
He had his kid.
Did he?
Congrats,
Brad. Oh, I thought you told me she was due at the end of the month.
No, he had his kid.
Oh, okay, congrats, Brad. Little baby...
Baby Brad.
Baby Brad. Boy or girl, that seems fitting. All right, let's get to an In the Muck to wrap today's episode.
All right, we got another user submission here. This comes from 23 Rumble. And just waiting for the... Go on the screen. There it is. Okay, so when I plug this in, I forgot to change the blinds. They're actually playing 5-10. So you're seeing 2-5, but they're actually playing 5-10. And Rumble raises to 30 with two black aces. He's met immediately by a 3-bet to 85.
How are we always in the muck with aces?
We're all just because that's a mucky hand when you don't win it.
Just put up the just pay logo. Let's fucking move on.
Right. So the small blind decides to flat hood flat.
Oh yes, the hood flat.
Hood flatting the.
We love the hood
flat.
Yeah, the
3-bet or smooth call. Right.
So yeah, so he flats a 3-bet and back to us, and we decide to 4-bet to 280. The 3-better.
Okay, it's a little small.
Folds, and now the.
The hood flatter.
The hood flat comes in again in the
hood
small
flat,
blind.
Not to double hood.
That's
flat.
A double hood flat.
Okay, he has right? jacks every time. Let's
right,
go.
Right. So the flop comes 9 of clubs, 7 of clubs, 3 of hearts.
Okay.
Small blind checks.
5 SPR.
We go ahead and bet about a third of the pot, 225 into 650.
Okay.
Met with a call, turn, deuce of clubs, putting 3 clubs on the board.
We can't be in the muck with this hand.
A check. And then we go ahead and we bet about half, a little over half pot, 600 into 1100.
Okay.
And we're going to met with another call.
Sure.
And the river is the 4 of diamonds. And now the small blind decides to just lead okay. jam all in for pot.
Okay.
which is about 2,400.
Okay, nice double up.
Right.
Enjoy
so
your
we
free chips.
Go ahead and just say call.
Sure.
And we're shown pocket fours with the four clubs.
Okay.
So, are we in the muck? What is happening here?
We're searching for a bridge.
I mean, to be fair, pocket fours played one street really well.
Yep, the last one.
Yes, the last
yeah.
one.
Let me just pull this up real quick. And so he said,
"What you got, Brian?"
Right. Yep.
He said, "I want to die."
he said, "Oh my." Right, he said my thought was the preflop action. With a preflop action, he definitely had a pocket pair, but assuming I would have heard earlier in the hand if that was the case. Obviously, a flush could have been there, but why open jam? Ace five of hearts.
No.
He said, I mean, with the backdoor on the flop. Not. And then he said, I'm pretty sure it was a fold, but very odd
absolutely
line,
not.
In my opinion,
absolutely not.
In the muck.
Okay. Your thought process is in the muck.
A little context is villain has flatted out of position multiple times with strong hands like ace jack suited, queen jack suited, jack jack, etc.
Okay, these are not
but
good hands.
This
when you're cold calling three yeah. bets, these are okay. not good hands.
But this is the first time playing with him with no history. I said was hoping he was overvaluing an overpair.
Sure. If he jams an overpair there, he's not for value. He thinks he's bluffing. So if he jams jacks, he thinks he's bluffing you. And right. honestly, it's probably not that bad because the framework of that thought process is incredibly mucky. It's very misaligned with how somebody who has a call range from that position naturally builds their range. Like it just doesn't matter how wide they're calling twice with. If the root of it is pocket pairs, it's difficult to be wider than the amount of pairs that you'll have. So the point is that he'll be so concentrated to pairs. If he's calling, I mean, he had fours, so let's assume he's calling deuces too. If he's calling deuces through queens, right? And say kings and aces just find an all-in somewhere along the line. So he has deuces through queens. That is 66 combinations of pocket pairs. It's impossible to find any amount of suited hands that he can be calling there that are relevant in this particular situation, right? So if he has 66 combinations of pocket pairs, at most, if he's like way too fucking loose and somehow he does have the ace five that you're implying in these other hands, at most, he's going to have like six or seven flushes, right? Yeah. So like 1/10 of his range at most is going to be flushes. And that's like really, really being generous. That means that he has like all 10-9 suited, all jack 10 suited, all queen jack suited. Like some of these hands somewhere along the line probably should have hit the muck. But what we know never hits the muck are the pairs. The instinct to cold call a three bet is almost always going to be pair driven, mm-hmm. right? It's very rarely.
Want to flop that set?
Yeah, it's very rarely queen high out of position.
Right.
Flop the hot card.
Right? Like.
You want to have clean outs. You want to know when you hit it, you got it.
Some hands have like some attraction. Some hands have some attraction to them, like jack 10 suited. Yeah. You know it's not strong enough to four bet, or at least you believe it's not strong enough to four bet, but it feels too strong to fold. I get that. King queen, everybody has the understanding, like I'm dominated too often. You
same
know?
With the ace X's, right? You don't want to make an ace and then be like, oh,
some,
to do.
Somewhat. I mean, at least you're drawing to the nuts. So like, I could see a hand like ace queen or ace jack getting in there, those types of hands. I could see maybe even ace king not wanting to four bet getting in there sometimes.
Brian said ace X's, by the way.
I know.
Ace X's. Yeah. Ace X's. All your ace X's.
Those Sims.
Yeah, yeah.
Grind my gears.
Yeah.
But the point is that the absolute core backbone of this range is constructed through pocket pairs. And so, yes, he's going to have some sets. Not many, though. Especially when the turn is a club, right? Because you assume any pair that calls on the flop has to have clubs in order to call. So now half of his pairs are folding to the c-bet.
And sevens and nines probably checkers a lot.
Right. And, yeah, and the flop sets probably exit on the flop, especially, like, bottom set. So what threes. Was it? Threes? So, yeah, if he has threes, sevens, like, those are probably exiting the majority of the time on the flop. So what you're left with are queens, jacks, tens, eights, sixes, and then, you know, fours and twos, I guess, when they have a club kind of thing. Yeah. Point is, the whole point that I'm trying to arrive at is our decision is not on the river. Our decision is on the flop, and it's just how do I maximize against this core group of hands that he holds. I don't care about going broke to a set because it doesn't matter. Him set mining cost him money. Even when he stacked me, there are not enough implied odds here for him to put $300 in preflop in order to stack me the times that he makes sets, because I'll set over set him at some frequency, mm-hmm. and I'll two out him once all the money goes in at some frequency, or I'll backdoor flush him at some frequency.
Or he just won't make a set.
Right. And yes. And then there's the other 85% of the time that he just doesn't flop a set. Right.
Mm-hmm. So or he flops an open ender and loses more money.
Exactly. So we make all of this money with all the times that he doesn't hit his 1-8 shot. Right. And that's the only thing we can be focused on. We have aces on a 9-high board. We do not give a shit in a 4-bet pot. We do not give a shit about doing anything other than finding the path to having all of the money in by the river with aces.
I don't give a hoot or a damn.
Right. Right. So, like, the simplest path here is just to geo 3 flop or 3. So, like, pick the sides that will allow you to choose the same percentage of the pot over 3 streets and be all in by the river. If you miss that and you just range bet flop, okay, fine. But I don't think we're range betting on this particular board. Like, not like that anyway. We're so concentrated to overpairs ourselves that we're mostly just going to want to, like, try to get the money in as fast as possible. So I think 3E is probably as small as we go, but I could be wrong. We'll find out in the sim. If we do have a hand that goes smaller than 3E, it will be aces, right? Because it doesn't need any protection, especially mm-hmm. aces with a club.
Would you go small and then go 2E on the turn?
So that's the thing. If you choose any size other than 3E on the flop, then turn is only 2E, in my opinion. Right? Even when the flush card falls, we have the ace of clubs. We just mm-hmm. don't care.
Right.
We are not against the flush very often. And we don't want to set up a pot-sized river shove. That's where this hand gets mucky, is that the reason why you feel like you can fold river is because he's jamming for pot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, this sucks to call because pot's expensive, and he has to have a really good fucking hand or a bluff to jam for pot.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, I mean, maybe not as much now, but like that used to be a thing, right? It's like, I'm going to set up a pot-sized shove on the river. And it's like, that's why we've moved away from that, and we go to these geo sizes, these two easy threes. So you're getting the same percentage.
The thing is, half pot is pretty nice when the flush start does complete on the turn. Mm-hmm. When you start to go bigger there, you do start to put a lot of fear into red jacks, right? Mm-hmm. Like that hand just starts folding pure. Black jacks might like mix, you know, that type of stuff. But it's predicated off of going too small on the flop now.
Right.
Because now whenever you go like third, half, full, you just don't get called enough on the river, right? And now you're losing a lot of value for your aces. So you've lost value mm-hmm. over all three streets.
Yeah, and also, like, if you choose a 3E, that doesn't mean you just always follow through. Like, the runout, obviously, is indicative of
could one
of
line by the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, now you're just going to find a check somewhere.
Right.
But, yeah, I guess the last point I'll make before we cut to Landon and the Wizard is that you really have to lose the fear of the traditional good five-card hands that can be there, the more bets that went in pre, mm-hmm. right? The more bets that go in pre, the more pruned this range is going to be and the more concentrated it is to a certain hand class.
If you have, like, red aces in this spot and face jam, then you can maybe consider folding.
Sure, right? Sure.
But ace of clubs too good.
Because, like, yeah, he'll have nut flushes, right? But, like, he doesn't have ace five here. That's not a thing.
No. Mm-hmm.
Like, he has black fours. That's way more of a thing.
Ace five is like, oh, he could have a hand that somehow beats me, but never really does this in the first place.
Exactly.
And now I'm finding reasons why I want to fold, not reasons why folding is good.
Precisely. Like, yeah, somehow ace five, no club, had to call a half pot bet on the turn. Like, that's not a thing. We're talking about red jacks pure
river
folding.
River me hot, baby. Four diamonds.
Right. Like, we're talking about red jacks. They should just pure fold probably versus half.
And you have two aces coming at door.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyways.
So, let's see what the wizard has to say.
The wizard didn't really know what to do with this one. Right. So I gave this guy a range of just like all of the pairs in full. And then like
fine.
Maybe
Landon
some
said,
suited
he's
paint.
Like, how am I supposed to do this? I'm like, just paint it, man.
I would give him all the jacks and queens.
I gave him some because somebody might four bet sometimes.
I don't think he would, but...
Maybe.
People who cold call fours just like tend to... Think about Adam Walton.
He would 4-bet queens.
I don't think he would.
I think he would.
I've played with him. You haven't.
I have played with him.
Okay, well, I've played cash with him. And I'm telling you, let me just tell you this.
He might cold call and then lead.
Exactly.
He might do that.
Exactly.
He might be in there a little.
He's done this with aces. I've seen him back raise 10-7 suited. Like, people like this just try to be like really hoodish, and they try to like stay outside of the cap of what their range is perceived to be.
I'm going
to
give them...
I would give them a lot.
50%.
Not kings. I mean, whatever. You can give them some, but like...
Why not? You said...
I just think he has a greater concentration to jacks and queens than you're giving him credit for.
This is...
Like, you had half and zero. I think it's a lot closer to that.
All right.
Outside of that, we don't have much debate. You can give him some kings. I don't care.
I don't care either.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The more kings we give him, the more of a snap call.
Range bet half pot for the theory size, but I can change that now.
No, you don't have to. I'm more interested in what the actual strategy is. Is it just three?
No, I don't think. It's close, actually. I think so.
I mean, it's 49%. I'm assuming that's three.
Probably close. So the small blind when the ace fours of the club is supposed to call, actually.
Sure.
You have clubs. You have clubs. But like, I like that laugh. Turn is the duck of clubs.
Now we know he doesn't have deuces.
We go half pot again. You bet with ace of the club. You just keep going.
You just keep going.
Or is you got a club, you can call some sharp. Sure. All right. Dun, 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 dun. No lead jams. It's funny because I was looking at the other spot, like without the queens and the jacks or whatever. And then if you took the sizes that Imposition took in this hand, he does get the lead jam, like 18%, and fours gets to mix it, and then aces is indifferent on the end. But yeah, even if he checks, like, we're all in. It's not close. It's not close.
So yeah, it just keeps choosing three.
And then if you jam, it says, oh, selected line is rarely used. Oh, you can't see it. It says, selected line is rarely used in GTO. Your output doesn't, like, it, what can you do? You
know? Right.
You broke. It's broken.
It's broken.
So, like,
in you broke it in my nose.
Like, it's funny because the way the hand was played by bro was fine. Like, you put the money in.
His sizing structure is not great.
It's,
but yeah.
How bad can it be? It's like B30 versus 50 versus B50. Right?
The issue is that you land on river with full pot, I think.
Sure. But like.
I think we might two size now.
Well, for what it's worth, in the picture, Brian told me they played a 6K pot. The picture at 7K. So it's going to make it a little bit different for sizes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in this spot, like 3E is half pot.
Well, he said they were 3,500 effective, but then he said it was a 6K pot and he bet 2K on the river. So
that's,
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, it's a difference between him shoving for 2,400 and shoving for 2K.
Okay. Well,
1,900 or whatever. Yeah. So anyways, it's like when you get in this spot and he jams, you just like pay and lose, because if he checked, you would have jammed anyways and you would have lost. Like, you're not finding reason to justify checking back here somehow. Mm-hmm. Checking back here would be suicide, right? Because like you jam and you just get called by queens, you get called by jacks, you get called by tens always. So you can't just be like, oh man, he could have a set and it's all over for me. Like, that's his problem, you know?
Like, yeah.
So end of the day, like, you played your hand fine, but having some sort of like convoluted reasoning as to why you lost this hand. It's funny because when Guapo put on the screen and he saw the donk leader on the river, Guapo goes, oh, this guy's dead. And like you're kind of right, but you don't really care. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not worth enough to care.
That's the thing. It's just like, sometimes you feel like they're never bluffing in the spot, right? You're just like, they just jammed into you. It's like, well, I'm like, they just don't have a one pair hand and they're not bluffing.
Yeah. But so this line is like that sort of spaz too. Right, like here's what you know for sure.
I'm saying what you think is happening, but that's probably not actually what's really happening, even in practice.
Well,
when it feels like
my point is like the deductive reasoning is just off, because you start to run through all these hands that beat you and they don't exist. So it's like, what you know for sure is that he has a pocket pair.
Yeah.
So it just comes down to, does he have fours with a club? Or is he spaz jamming jacks, hoping that you fold red aces?
Which
you probably will. Like, I would fold red aces.
Fucking fours, man. Like, you have to think in practice, like, someone has to, like, peel twice and just be like, oh, like, here it comes, you know?
Yeah, but, like, it's not that unreasonable. It does peel twice.
In theory, at some frequency. In theory, this is all nonsense, right? The range is, like, crazy. Yeah. Like, how do you really, like, make sense of it all, you know?
Well, you make sense of it, like... It's input output, man. Right. Like, if that's what his range is, then that's how it plays.
Or he has like fives with a club and he's just like, I block the straight somehow or something like that and just rips it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I block ace five suited.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, I could have ace five of clubs. I'm all in.
Right. Maybe they forget about what happened preflop. Exactly. Like, I could have all these hands.
I think the other big problem with my other big problem with this line work is that when you choose sizings outside of 3E and you go small, medium, large, mm-hmm. you don't have bluffs for the large.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it gets especially challenged to get paid.
You're supposed to have like ace-king.
Ace-king, yeah. But like...
ace-queen.
People just don't really take the small, medium, large line with ace-king in a club. They either overreact and bet too large on the turn, or they just check back and realize their equity.
Poker's funny. You have ace, ten, of spades. Sometimes you're like, fuck it. You know what? I'm gonna bluff sometimes, okay. You don't want to use hearts because backdoor suit's bad, but like...
Right.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
There it is. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I think the big takeaway here is just charge him appropriately through three streets so that you don't... have a real decision on the end.
Mm-hmm.
If you're facing half pot on the end, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you snap. Just fuck this guy. He sucked out of me for two outs, and he paid a lot of money to do it. Like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, he sometimes randomly spazzes.
And maybe if you sized it the way you did, he might fold turn.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's not what you want. I mean, you don't want him to fold turn.
No, of course.
But I'm just saying that, like...
You put him in a tougher spot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it really goes back to the flop, so maybe he doesn't end up folding, but the point is that you get to play a much more high EV pot. Because here's the thing, like when the fourth flush falls, mm-hmm. when the fourth flush card falls, and it checks to you, and now you jam for full pot, which you're going to with the absolute nuts, he's probably going to fold fours with the club. But the irony is that he called twice with fours with the club to make a backup flush sometimes.
Right, yeah.
And then be able to bluff catch with said hand.
Or just like beat the give up ace king that he thinks doesn't bluff too much. Right?
Yeah.
So like if there's a six, a clubs or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying it would pure call, but my point is like you take the ability for it to pay.
Yeah,
it
calls a good bit.
Right, but it probably isn't going to call at all facing full pot.
Oh, instead of half?
You're saying there was a six, exactly. six of clubs.
Yeah. It probably just calls less, but sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying practically.
Sure.
In practice, it probably just never calls, and I think that becomes a big problem because, again, he has pairs. So this is the region that we're targeting. He's going to have a weak flush when the four flush falls.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to have him priced in prior to that happening.
And then just call queens no club sometimes because it's so easy.
Yeah. Well, fuck it.
Yeah.
Okay, poker's easy.
Yeah.
If you guys would also like to submit your own version of In the Muck, be sure to head over to our Discord.
Please don't have AC.
Hashtag Discord. In the chat, or you can find it pinned. It's the pinned tweet on our Twitter page at SolveForYTV underscore TV. No,
yeah.
SolveForYTV or underscore TV. SolveForYTV. No underscore.
No more aces in the mucks for a while.
Yeah, the hands that definitely work the best are.
I disagree. I think people who are presenting aces are actually in the muck all the time.
Yeah,
because aces are the key just pay hand. Mm-hmm. They're the keystone to paying.
You want to keep running, you want to keep looking at aces' hands?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to beat it in their head that when you have hands this fucking strong, you need a really good excuse to fold. Like somebody showed you your hand.
And if you have hands that are like going.
Or like your dug and you roll it incorrectly.
If you have hands that are going like multi ways post flop, we're probably not going to do those hands because we're using the wizard and the wizard is made for, you know, heads up spots.
Maybe once a week we can pick a multi way hand and just not whiz it.
Yeah.
Because I do like the conversation that sparks off of this.
Yeah. Because I mean, the thing is that when you're playing these stakes, right, you're just playing multi way a lot. So, like, we should examine that.
Perhaps there's the strat chat. Let's say every Wednesday we'll dedicate to multi way hands.
There we go. Yeah. We'll do
it as a part of strat chat.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay, so for your multi-way
hands...
We're
evolving the In the Muck
segment.
Yeah,
that's right. In the Muck's evolving, baby. Big shout-out to GTO Wizard for sponsoring the In the Muck. If you guys would like your own version of Wizard AI, which I can't recommend enough, I honestly can't explain to you how much it's improved my ability to study, where I don't have to use a pencil and pen anymore.
AI is sick.
AI is sick. Hit hashtag Wizard in the chat, follow that link, and follow the affiliate link and get your own. That's going to do it for us today. God bless to everybody who's cooking and everyone who's in the muck. Enjoy your March Madness. We'll be back tomorrow at noon Pacific for our final show of the week. Be sure to check it out and be sure to head over to WPTVoyage.com to get more information on the ship. Until then, we'll see you guys all tomorrow.
Later, peace. Squad.
Peace.